Well, good morning. It's a privilege to be able to share with you today. Now, this morning, I have brought along with me a gift. Now, who here likes to receive gifts? Put your hand up. Be honest. Yeah, most of us? That's all right. Now, if I was to give you my gift here and then ask you to give me $20 in return, is that a gift? No, it's not a gift at all. For it to be a gift, I need to be able to give it to you without any strings or conditions attached. All you have to do is receive it, accept it, and then open it. That's what makes it a gift. Now this morning, as we continue to look at this passage from Titus, the thing that jumps out at us is God's free gift of grace. Now when we talk about grace, I'm not talking about the grace, you know, you stay before a meal, you sit down, close your eyes and say, thanks God for this food, amen, and then you eat it as quick as you can before it gets cold. That's not the grace that I'm talking about this morning. I'm referring to God's grace that he gives to us. And by that I mean the good that God gives to us, even though we do not deserve it. So let me just say that again. God's grace to us is the good that God gives to us, even though we do not deserve it. Now, as I said this morning, I've brought along this little gift box here. And inside this box, I have a gift for everyone here today as well. There's nothing that you can do to earn this gift. No, your behaviour during the service won't affect it. So whether you stay awake or fall asleep, that won't affect whether you're going to have a gift. You can't earn this gift. You can't buy this gift. I have a gift here from me to you this morning. But it's up to you whether you want to come along at the end of the service and take a little gift from my gift box here and take it. That's up to you. If you want to take it, go for it. If you don't, that's quite all right as well by me. And it's the same with God's grace. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. God wants to give it to us for free. But it's up to us whether we choose to accept God's grace or reject it. Now, God has chosen to give us the good that we don't deserve. And that's because from the moment each of us were born, from the moment we breathed our first breath, we were born with a problem. And the problem that we were born with is sin. Ever since Adam and Eve, since they disobeyed God back in Genesis, sin has affected everybody. And sin, it separates us from God. But God, he wants to be our friend. But the problem of sin, it gets in the way. It's like a wedge that drives us apart from God. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, we read, for the wages of sin is death. Now, if I was to end my sermon here, it would be a pretty sad point to end my sermon. I'm sure there could be some of you that are thinking, woohoo, Rob should preach more often, 4-minute sermons, it's great. But if I was to end my sermon here, it would be sad because I think those 7 words, for the wages of sin is death, are pretty depressing. And that's because we've all sinned. We all deserve to die. That also means we deserve to be separated from God. But the good news is that God, he wants to be close to us. He wants to be our friend. He wants us to enjoy a relationship with him. He wants to guide us in our lives. He wants to speak to us. And this is where God's free gift of grace fits in. God has chosen to give us the good that we do not deserve. And as we look at the second part of Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, our sad human story could have ended after those first 7 words, for the wages of sin is death. But that isn't how it ends. Instead of us receiving what we deserve, we're given the choice of a free gift. We're able to accept and receive a free gift from God when we believe in Jesus. We believe that Jesus, he died on the cross. He took the punishment for us. And when he rose again, and then we receive the gift of grace. When God, he forgives us. He forgives us of our sins. And we can be God's friend. And we're able to live for eternity in heaven. With God's grace, we are given the good that we do not deserve. And the good news is that God's grace is for everybody. In verse 11, it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all people. God's grace is for everyone. No one is excluded. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter what mistakes you've made, what sins you've committed. Jesus, he died on a cross. He died a painful death. And he died for you, for me, and for everyone else, so that we can receive salvation and live for eternity in heaven. But that choice is up to you. You can choose to accept God's gift of grace, or you can reject it. And my question for each of us this morning is, what have you done with God's gift of grace? Have you chosen to accept it or reject it? Now, we're saved because of grace. And in verse 12, we read that grace also teaches us and it trains us in how we're to live our lives. Grace, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to worldly passions, and so that we can live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. Now, I'd like you to think about an Olympic athlete. Now, an Olympic athlete, they spend many hours training. They make many sacrifices. They say no to many things that others enjoy. Now, they make these sacrifices because they want to be the best at their chosen sport. They also want to win a gold medal. And for those of you who are studying here today, there are sacrifices that you also have to make. You can't always go out and hang out with your friends. You can't always stay up late and watch those late night movies that you would rather be watching. Sometimes you have to say no so that you can get the marks that you need to be successful. And as we live our lives, there are things that we need to say yes and things that we need to say no to. And verse 12, it reminds us that we're called to say no to ungodliness and to worldly passions. And this might mean that we need to say no to following the crowd and going along with whatever culture says is acceptable. We need to say no to being worried about our reputation and comfort and personal gain. We also need to say no to being worried about what other people might think about us. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, humans have been trying to live their own lives, doing the things that they want to do, instead of following God's plan. But grace trains us to say no to these things. Grace also trains us in a positive way, as grace trains us so that we can live self-controlled, upright and godly lives. Grace enables us to show compassion to others, to be kind to them and to treat them with humility. Now, God, he didn't look down on earth and say, you know, when those humans show the least bit of interest in cleaning up their act, then I'll meet them halfway. God doesn't work like that. It was while we were still sinners, while we were still disobeying God, that God, he stooped down and showed us how much he loves us by sending his son Jesus. God, he doesn't ignore our sin. He doesn't excuse our sin. Instead, he looks past our sin and accepts us in spite of it. God's grace also helps us to embrace those who have wronged us. God's grace challenges us in how we deal with other people so that we can treat them in a fair, kind, caring, compassionate and thoughtful way. And the challenge for each of us is, how do we treat those that we meet? How do we treat those who have wronged us? Do we show them God's grace? Now, in our Bible, there's quite a few examples of where people have been affected by grace, and we see how grace affects them so that they can show good to others, even though they don't deserve it. In Matthew chapter 20, we read about the farmer who pays a full day's wages to a crew of labourers, even though they've only worked for an hour. In Luke chapter 15, we see how the shepherd, he leaves 99 sheep at risk of being attacked so that he can go off and find that one sheep that's decided to go off exploring by itself. And in Luke chapter 15, we also see of the love of a father who hands over his finest rings and robes to his son who has squandered his inheritance on alcohol and wild parties. We are saved by grace, and grace also affects us in how we relate to other people. So the challenge for each of us is there someone that you need to show God's grace to? Do you need to think about what you're going to say or what you're going to do the next time you meet them so that you can show God's grace to them? Now in verse 13, the author uses the word hope. As I say, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ. Now today when we use the word hope, it has a different meaning to when it was first used in Scripture. Today when we use the word hope, there's a level of uncertainty that is connected to it. For example, I can say, I hope to go to Ayers Rock one day. Like, I'm uncertain whether I'll get there or not. We can say to someone, I hope you have a good birthday. We can also say, I hope Rob doesn't preach too long and too late here today. When we use the word hope, there's a degree of uncertainty that is connected with it. But that's not how the biblical writers used the word hope. When they used the word hope, they knew that something would happen for sure. There was no element of doubt in there. And in verse 13, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote this letter to Titus, he knew that without a doubt that Jesus was going to return. And there are numerous references in our Bible that talk about Jesus returning back to earth in order to fulfill these promises that he made and these promises that were made about him. But Jesus, he hasn't returned yet. We're still waiting. We don't know when Jesus is going to return. It doesn't tell us in the Bible. But what we do know is that Jesus will one day return. And we're told that we need to be ready for when Jesus returns, as he's coming back to take those who believe in him to be with him in heaven for eternity. And in verse 14, we read these words, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Now, to be redeemed means that something was purchased for a price. Now, at some stage, you might have been given a voucher or a coupon, and you've gone and redeemed it. You've cashed it in for the value that was written on that coupon. And Jesus has also redeemed us. Jesus purchased you, he purchased me, he's purchased everyone else, so that we can be set free. And the purchase price was staggering. The price was Jesus' life. But Jesus was willing to pay the price for each of us so that we can be free from sin. Jesus, he's brought us. And we've been freed from the sentence of death. And as we grow in our relationship with Jesus, grace transforms us so that we can also make a difference in this world. We're able to treat others fairly in a way that is loving, kind, caring and compassionate. We're also able to build bridges with people so that we can share our faith with them and so they too can also receive God's grace. Now, God didn't call us to close ourselves off from others and to just live by ourselves as believers. We're called to go out and make disciples. We're called to be set apart and free from ungodliness and wickedness. Now, earlier in our reading from Matthew, we heard that we're commanded to be salt and light in the world. In Jesus' day, salt was used to give food flavouring. The salt was rubbed into the meat to preserve the meat as well. The salt made a huge difference to meat. And as believers, we also need to make a difference in this world that we live in. Do your friends, those that don't believe in Jesus, do they know that you're a believer from your words and from your actions? Or do you need to make some changes in your life so that they know that you believe in Jesus? Do you need to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions so that they can see Jesus in you? Now, Paul ends his letter to Titus by telling him that he needs to tell everyone about God's grace and how God's grace can transform your life. So not only does Titus need to be telling other people, that challenge is also for us as well. We need to be sharing this good news with other people. And not only do we need to be sharing this good news with other people, we also need to be encouraging each other as well so that we can stand firm in what we believe. Now, I'd like you to imagine that now you're walking along a riverbank, the raging waters raging past you, and then you hear these cries for help. And you see someone, they're being carried down the river. They're waving their arms, you can see them going up and down in the water, you can see that they're drowning. So you jump in, you risk your life, you go and rescue them from this raging water. You drag them to the edge of the bank and pull them up on the shore. You're successful in saving their life and also not drowning yourself. And this person you've just rescued, they stagger to their feet and they say, thank you so much for rescuing me. I almost died out there. And with that, the person, they run and they jump back into the water again. Now, at this point, if you're anything like me, you're probably thinking, what on earth is this crazy person doing? I've just saved them from this raging river. They've just gone and jumped back in. Then the next moment, you're brought back to your senses as you hear them yelling for help again. And they're waving their arms, trying to get your attention. What would you do? What would your response be? Would you jump back in? Would you rescue them? Or would you be saying, you got yourself in there, you get yourself out? Now, as foolish as this scenario sounds, how many times has Jesus jumped back in and rescued you? Jesus, he came to redeem us from a life of sin. He came to purify us and change us. He wants us to live for him, free from ungodliness and wickedness. And God has provided a way in which we can escape the guilt and penalty of sin. So my question for each of us as we close is, how grateful are you to God for his free gift of grace? God's free gift of grace is available to each of us. And God has chosen to rescue you, me, and everyone else. And that is grace. God giving us what we do not deserve. Now, at the end of the service, as I said earlier, if you'd like to come and take a little gift out of this box here, you're more than welcome to. And as you look at it or use it or whatever you do with it, hopefully it reminds you of God's free gift of grace that is given to each of us. But if you'd like to find more about God's free gift of grace that is given to us, I'd like to encourage you to speak to Greg or myself at the end of the service. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your free gift of grace. Thank you that you give us the good that we do not deserve. Thank you that you give us the opportunity to be your friend and to live for eternity with you. And Lord, if there is any ungodliness or wickedness in our lives, please reveal it to us by your Holy Spirit so that we can live for you and so that we can make a difference in this world that we live in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.